Hello again, Mark here, joining you post-Ignite conference. It's what we'll speak about today, so I guess if we just talk about highlights, Chris, I don't know if you want to start or if you'd like me to start. I think we both have the same initial highlight.
Yeah, the food was a lot better this year.
That's not what I noticed.
And there was a lot less walking as well. I think those are the two highlights.
I think perhaps we were just smarter in how we put our schedules together and recognised the distance between each, so stayed in a single location where possible.
Yeah, no, it seemed to be a lot. I don't know why, but it felt like a bigger event. But there was they definitely were a lot more organised with how all the venues were positioned. So they didn't use one.
Yeah, a lot less need. Yeah, a lot less need to cross between the buildings, which was helpful.
Yeah.
So, number one highlight for you.
Number one highlight. There were quite a few features that caught my eye. Microsoft Search, or what was called Bing for Business, was announced, and tenant admins could enable it there and then. And you did,
and it is fantastic.
It's brilliant. Yeah, I think it's a really, really positive sign of things to come. And even it's changing how I work today using the global IT device, the Surface Go. Searching within Edge for documents or people or any contact within our tenant has been absolutely brilliant. It's a lot easier to search for via Edge than it would be by logging into the Office 365 portal.
Yeah, so the basic premise for those listening, obviously, is in Edge browser, you can search for someone or something, and it defaults to searching in your Office 365 tenant first. So you search for a person, you find their contact details. You search for documents, and that's where it defaults. The search is in your tenant, so it's super helpful, impressive. It works from a mobile, works everywhere. It's really good.
So on my, I'm using Edge on my Windows 10 laptop and on my iOS device, and it works just as well on both. And there are other things we can,
same on Android.
Yeah, and there are other features we can add to it. So we can even add like important bookmarks to the organization. So and people can actually search that. We've not done it yet, but it's a feature that we can do now. But unfortunately, we don't seem to have that many important bookmarks that we can add at the moment.
And the other thing I was really impressed by was it also, because it searches SharePoint libraries, I can imagine us maybe using SharePoint possibly for orders and regulations, which would mean when you search, you'll also have minutes be surfaced for you right to your device in that search and not have to go, I need to look at orders and regulations for core offices in this situation. It's just going to find it, which is really excellent.
Yeah, just imagine being able to tell that to a user just if they want to search on something.
Oh, I know.
Just do it via the desktop. But what will come in a future release of Microsoft Search is Windows 10 integrations. You can actually search directly
from your start menu.
Through Cortana or whatever they're going to rename it to in the future.
Well, they demo showed them in the Windows Start menu, and I'll often hit Start and start typing Word or PowerPoint, but you'll actually be able to do searches for, I can imagine, searching for a person directly in there.
Really, really.
So that was
great. If they manage to pull that off and it works well, then I think that's going to be a real, real value to the organization.
Well, what exists already just an Edge browser is brilliant also.
Yeah, we need to maybe upgrade this podcast to a video cast so we can actually do some live demos or something.
Yeah, maybe one day. This podcast, which isn't officially released yet, and we have the listeners last time, so hopefully that doesn't happen again.
So we've either got Sean or we've got Tony, but I don't know. I don't think we have the luxury of two listeners on this episode.
I was actually hoping Tony could join us for this, but he's on holiday. to hear his take on what he heard that was good.
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
And to Sean,
not they so were much both, about yeah. Sean.
that was that's another huge thing what I get value from at these conferences is there were, I can't recall if it was a dozen or 15 Salvation Army people from around the world at Ignite. So those conversations you're having over meals, over dinner, in between sessions, at sessions, about what's happening, how you think this could be used, are really mostly. Valuable. Mostly. Nice. So a couple of other standouts for me was they really seem to have a huge focus still on teams and where teams is being positioned, how it's working, all the extra features they're adding, and also, which somewhat surprised me, was Yammer. Big commitment from Microsoft to Yammer staying and being developed a lot further to really... they talked about, you know, Teams is your inner circle, the people who you're creating documents with and working on projects, maybe your actual team you work with, and Yammer being that wider organization. So you have the ability, you know, again, I can imagine territories learning about where the general is or learning about, you know, the Office 365 project or the IFAS project through a worldwide community. And huge work being done by Microsoft there to make it comply with all the emerging security and privacy regulations and make it far more
even
integrated into the
suite. Office 365 groups are still not fully there. Microsoft did acknowledge on this in this conference that they have not put the focus into kind of integrate it into the rest of the Microsoft ecosystem. But in terms of where Yammer fit in and as a long-term strategy, I am still to be sold. I'm not, as you already know, Mark. But yeah, they did promise.
Yeah. And on the opposite, I think it has a clear place for us. But understand your doubts.
There was an announcement this week. It was buried in some documentation somewhere. But Microsoft have now allowed organization-wide Teams creation up to a maximum today of 1,000 users. So that's the maximum.
2,500, not 1,000.
You can add yourself and maintain yourself, but you can create a tenant-wide group team up to 1,000 users today. So. Which is interesting because we keep talking about Teams as being
okay.
working close circles. And I agree with that statement, but I'm wondering if more and more features over the next couple of years will gradually be fed into Teams to kind of bring a lot, kind of match that functionality.
Maybe. We've talked about a difficulty I have with Teams is if you have too many teams, very, not cluttered, but it's very busy. And there's a whole, I've got, I don't know how many teams, but it's too many in some ways to keep track. I'm not suggesting those naturally should go to Yammer, far from it. But if you have too many teams, it's a little challenging
after a couple of months. That's why private channels are so important. They've been working on they say they've been working for over a year now, but as soon as that functionality is added, that should really, really help with adoption and to kind of cut back on a lot of those unnecessary team creations.
Yes. Just on groups, kind of circling back a little, I was at a focus group with some others, and the clear message from everyone in that room was Microsoft, stop giving us so many different ways to organize users. You've got Office 365 groups, you've got AD groups, you've got all these other ones. Just pick one and make that the one we all should use. So, yeah, agree there that it'd be good to have
one
that one way they provide.
We couldn't find anybody that would commit to it. But I see a lot of documentation online asking for feedback for this feature, and that's the ability to convert a shared mailbox into an Office 365 group. and folders to be able to turn Office 365 group, because
yeah,
I am more and more convinced that this is functionality that Microsoft will finally listen to the user base and bring in, and that will really, really help us as a global tenant kind of have like a one-stop shop for locations and departments as well, instead of having to create separate components and have information stored in different places.
And certainly the recent history of Microsoft is they are far more responsive to what people are asking and how we're saying we're using the technology.
Yeah, their user voice program is quite good, actually. You can vote on features that you want, and their project managers do respond time now and again. So that's
now and again, that's right. Well, looking at the time, I think we've, in some ways, spoken long enough. I know we've pre-registered a group for next year already for Ignite, hoping that we'll be able to get ourselves some complimentary tickets. Anything else just that jumps out to you that you think's worth sharing with everyone? I'd say SharePoint, big focus, big attention to what's happening there and making that more integrated, more feature rich,
yeah,
and
two
more
things. Modern desktop,
compliant with regulations. Anything
Google
else from
it,
you?
Find out what they're on about. Say again. Oh, sorry. Or Microsoft Search it. Whatever it is you want to
Bing it, not Google it.
Find it, wherever you want to find it. It's called the Modern Desktop.
Yeah.
The other thing is around security. Microsoft brought in a new feature called passwordless sign-in. That's really cool, and I've been using that for the last couple of weeks. And also the Microsoft Secure Score is continuing to improve, and it's a really, really, really good way of kind of helping admins and tenants to make sure that they're secure and compliant.
Yeah, it reveals some basic reveals some basic steps to administrators that they can take to make their tenant more secure, which is great, and gives you that score.
So
you're able to see what to do to improve.
That you see the low, medium, or high kind of impact to users. So, yeah, it's really, and it's one of the best things I think they've released since I've certainly been using Office 365.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. All right. Well, I guess from here we need to decide if we're committing to this podcast, and then it will turn more to migration and preparation and general news from around the army world.
Anything
you want to add now before we finish up?
The few tests we've done have been quite good, but now's the time to probably branch out a little bit more.
Well, let's send this final test episode out to our
loyal
listeners.
We should have a like button.
And
so
what they come back with. Yeah. Well, the distribution method I've chosen to use, Anchor, actually lets people, Anchor FM that is, let people send in questions, which I'd be really keen if people started doing that. They can send an audio message. We can hear it. We can play it. We can respond to it. Certainly, I'd like it to be more interactive. And even if that's just people emailing, and if they want
to
stay anonymous,
as well,
I'll happily not name them or identify where they're
there's
from.
There's only a handful of users in there, so...
you're committed after
I'm
all.
I'm sure we'll get some negative and positive comments.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Both are helpful. All right. Well, thank you, Tony and Sean. And until next time, we'll say goodbye.